15 to 20 million.
Jobs. I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio. However, people can tune in from anywhere in the USA or the world simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. And as you know, you can always hear rebroadcasts of the show about 2 hours after we go off the air, simply by logging on once again to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. Well, ladies and gentlemen, today is open forum. There's a lot to be said, and everybody is on board to say it. I want to first of all introduce and thank our very faithful panel members. And first, I want to tell all of you that in my travels, I am very pleased to hear great compliments about all of you. You add a special flavor to our broadcast and, of course, to a look at America. Boy, if more people thought the way we thought on this radio broadcast, America would be absolutely the very best. And I want to say a special thank you to Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store. And by the way, at this season of the year, as we're promoting American Made Month, just go on there and check it out. It's on the front page of American Workers Radio as well. Click on that, and Mark offers many, many selections, many specials at this time of the year. I'm urging you to support Mark because his heart and soul is really with the American people, with family, American values. And boy, Mark, I hope you will hear from you today in a very positive way. Larkin Conley, you are the very best, of course, our national small business advocate, a man with experience, a man who understands, I hope a man who's been watching a lot of the things going on the TV, which we'll discuss today. And of course, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, a man who really has his facts and figures always ready to go. And then there is Curtis Ellis of the American Jobs Alliance, always out there promoting the America First Project. I want to tell you something, guys. It's really good to work with you. Thank you for volunteering your time for this broadcast, because we've done more to get people together than most of our good people in Washington and some at the state level and local level as well. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, always the best, doing his thing. Everything that we need done is always number one. Thank you, Henry. Cinque mi barzo. And also, I'm Michael Blihash, always happy to be with you. And of course, I ask that you go to your contacts, Facebook someone, email someone, call someone, and invite them to tune in, because it's open forum. Everybody has their chance to say, butt in whenever you want to have something to add to the conversation. Anyone who watched what's happening in America in the last few years can really understand why the United States labor market and the economy was relocated to foreign countries. Take a look at what's going on in Washington. What has been going on all these years? To be very honest, national leaders are sitting around. They really don't have an idea to date how their leadership has hurt the American people during the last 30 years. Our jobs exited out the door. No one stopped them. Our job skills gone. Trades in the schools flop. You ask people, they can't read, they can't write, they can't measure. What the hell is going on? I don't understand it. We are now promoting the United States, Mexico, and Canada partnership. It's a very important agreement. It's been on the table for many months, and yet in Washington, they are witch hunting, whatever you want to call it. It's certainly not doing the work of the people's business. And before I go, and I'm going to let everybody have their full treatment today, I just want to say, as we're watching what's going on in the Congress, it's our tax dollars. It's our money, guys and ladies. It's our money being pissed away. Look at the debt clock. What is it all about? Unfortunately, this has been happening for years, and the American people have really not been in control of the agenda. From everything I'm seeing, even with this Ukrainian issue, is that the United States should have never given a penny of foreign aid, American workers' money, American retired people's money. A penny of United States money should have never been given for foreign aid unless it was fully documented in a proposal approved by all levels of government. Nothing left to the imagination. If that happened, we would not have what was happening today. And probably it's been going on for years. It's just that they despise this president and they want to hang him in any way that they can. How do we, the taxpayers, know where our money's really going? Where are the proposals for the aides? Why can't they be posted on the internet? I can understand years ago when there was no internet, people had to go to the library to look up something or go out of their way. Today it should be posted on the internet. We should know what the hell is going on, and we vote for the people or throw them out if they're not doing their job. How do taxpayers know where their money is going right now? The nonsense that I'm hearing with this census and all. I mean, they don't want to ask this, they don't want to ask that. I've had some say in what should be on that census. And I've attacked, and I mentioned it nicely to a few people, that it should be this and that. So we'll see how the final product will be proposed to the people. It should be coming out very, very shortly. And I'm sure that there have been a lot more of these behind the scenes things going on with foreign aid that none of us have heard about for years and years and years. With radio, communications, Facebook, internet, the whole deal, Americans should be fully informed, and a lot of this should be done with the help of the United Nations. It shows us that America overextended itself as the international big peacekeeper, and now we're getting burned. Why are we giving aid to anybody? Where's the proposal? I'm going to first turn today to Curtis Ellis. Curtis, how are you doing?
Just great. It's great to be back. It's wonderful to hear you, and I can't wait to hear everyone else as well. I have been on the road with Vice President Pence promoting the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement, and ever since I got back from there, I've been tied up watching this ridiculous parade of passive-aggressive globalists and groupthink foreign policy bureaucrats who think they run the show, and they're just insulted, and their self-esteem is wounded by the fact that President Trump runs the show. It's something they can never accept.
Curtis, I want to interrupt you for one second. Is it not the obligation of the Congress to review these proposals, these aid packages, and the president as the chief executive officer, the CEO of the country, is it not his job to look over every agreement to make sure it is what it's supposed to be? That's what he's supposed to be there, to sign the final document.
He is absolutely required by law to ascertain, to ensure, to verify, to whatever word you want to use, to certify that there is no corruption going on in the recipient country, in the country that's receiving American taxpayer dollars, whether in the form of foreign aid, whether it's food aid or military aid or anything. Before we can hand over a nickel of our hard-earned money, your hard-earned money, to these countries, the president is required by law to certify that they are free of corruption. And that just shows you the whole charade that's going on in Washington, because Ukraine is one of the most corrupt countries on earth, and everybody knows it. And it doesn't matter where you look, you're going to turn over any stone, you'll find some snakes and beetles and creepy things going on in Ukraine. There's a reason why so many Ukrainians left and came to the Western Hemisphere, came to the United States, Argentina, and any place that would have them. For decades, they've been doing that, going back centuries. But that's I don't want to digress too much on this particular case. I've been writing about this a lot. I mean, what we're seeing here, this is the we're seeing exposed on TV what has been Americans' suspicions and greatest fear for the longest time, which is the elected government is just window dressing, but there's a secret cabal. There's some puppet masters behind the scenes that are really running the show and pulling the strings. And American democracy is merely a sham and a window dressing. And that is what's been... I'm sorry, go ahead.
You're right, because what I've seen, and I haven't watched much of it, but I've listened to this testimony from these people, and I am looking at it as though they want to run everything the way they want to run it. There has to be some brand new rules and regulations put on the table. This has gone on for long enough.
Since the turn of the last century, with the birth of the progressive movement, the progressives were, and remember, the progressives were both Republican and Democrats. It was a bipartisan movement. Herbert Hoover was a progressive, and he was considered the great engineer and the manager. The conceit of the progressives always was, democracy is outdated, our society has become so complex that it'll run smoothly if we have a class of professional managers running things. We don't need democracy anymore. It's actually would be a hindrance to the smooth running of society. So what we're going to do is we're going to create this administrative state of professional managers, call them civil servants, call them whatever you want, but they will run things. They will be in charge. And that's what we have now. It's been building for 100 years. It really went into overdrive with the New Deal. They set up all these alphabet soup agencies and independent authorities. These people cannot be replaced. They cannot be fired. They operate on their own. And that's what's running the government. And these people now think they run the government, and they know better than the president. They know better than Congress. Congress has been complicit in this. Every time they pass a law creating an environmental protection agency, or beyond just creating the agencies, every time they pass a law saying we're going to get rid of hindrances, be like the Americans with Disabilities Act, and we're gonna make sure that everybody can get everywhere no matter whatever their disability is, then they turn it over. They just write the broad outlines and they say agency X or bureaucracy Y or sub-agency C is going to write regulations and rules to make this all happen. And then they just go on to the next thing. They go back to fundraising, you know, raising money for their next reelection campaign. Congress does not pass laws anymore. It passes blank checks to the bureaucracy to write laws. And those regulations that these bureaucracies write have the force of law. And so what we're seeing with foreign policy is, and you heard this guy, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, call me Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, shows up yesterday, and they asked him, does the Secretary of State report to you? No. Does the President report to you? No. Does the Ambassador report to you? No. Do you write foreign policy? Well, I create foreign policy. I work according to NSPM4 memo. I work at the sub-PCC level coordinating the interagency, and we write the foreign policy. This guy actually thinks he is in charge of foreign policy because he's got some little bunch of bureaucrats sitting around the table that are supposed to write a memo that they submit to somebody that hands it up the chain of command, so that when the decision is made in the Oval Office, they can say, and we heard from State Department, Defense Department, whatever department, and all the chair warmers have signed off on this. Of course, the president is free to just throw that memo out and do whatever the hell he wants. But then this guy gets all huffy because he really thinks he's in charge here. And like, how dare the president not take my advice? Oh, my gosh, I'm the professional. I'm in charge of the Interagency Coordination Council of chair warmers.
Right. And you know, Curtis, I have to add to this. All this, from what I've seen, and I haven't unfortunately been able to watch more of it, is that these people did all this. They made all these authorities, all these special agencies. And what that did is simply push the interests of the regular American taxpayers aside. Everybody
right.
figured they can't fight City Hall. So, okay, these people are in there. Just let them do whatever they want. And then these hearings could be more detrimental because intelligent people are seeing what the hell is all this about. Why
exactly.
are all these people in the diplomatic corps? This has an assistant, a vice assistant. This is a secretary to the assistant. My God, you walk in with an entourage of 30 people for one person, one executive.
Exactly.
What the hell are these 30 people doing?
For once, the American people can now see on parade. They can see these pusillanimous pansies on parade on TV. These are the people spending your money, folks. These are the people spending your money. And it gets even worse than what I've described and what you've described.
And this is why this debt clock continues to rise.
That's right, because
we don't have a way to get rid of these people. I think it's time. I'd like to hear these candidates. Tonight they're having another. I'd like to see what they're going to talk about. How are they going to reduce the cost of life in America? Not give us more taxes, not give us more ways that we're going to have to struggle under government rule, but how are we going to get outside of government rule?
That's right. I'd like to say one other thing on the substance of this. Look. Each one of these diplomats has a vested interest in making their country the country that they're assigned to. By their country, I don't mean the United States. There's this disease in the State Department called clientitis, right? So the people that are on the Europe desk or on the Ukraine desk, they suddenly come to view Ukraine as the most important country in the world. The people that are on the Borneo desk think Borneo is the most important thing. And what they do every day, all day long, while they're sitting at their desk in Washington, D.C., is they're representing the interests of Borneo, or they're representing the interests of Ukraine, or of Moldova, or Belarus, or whatever little backwater they happen to be assigned to. They have because they're nice diplomats, and they smile and shake hands and say nice things. It's like a form of Stockholm syndrome. They start to identify with the country that they've been posted to. But then they have self-interest involved, right? If they start getting huge amounts of American taxpayer foreign aid going to this country, suddenly this diplomat is now important, right? The more money that's being spent in this country, the more important that diplomat's job is. They now are in charge of overseeing development projects, of making sure, certifying that there's no corruption going on and that the money's being spent wisely. And, of course, they're not doing any of that. They're just pretending, going through the motions, filling out the forms and checking off the boxes, saying there's no corruption, the money's being spent wisely, la, 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 la. Give me some more money. It's more important. And particularly with Ukraine, and it gets even worse than that. So they have this self-interest to spend taxpayer money on foreign aid because it makes their job more important and makes them look good, and then they're better in line for promotion to a higher job, right? And then, they are not creative thinkers. They're not original thinkers. They are doing paint by numbers. They're just following by rote what they've been taught before. Remember, 1945, Soviet Union on the march, expansionist. And the idea was NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, was going to defend Western Europe against Soviet expansion. Okay, great. Worked out really fine. We did that for 60 years, 50 years. Berlin Wall came down. What happens to all these people? All these people that are on the front line, most important duty you could ever do is be the ambassador to Bulgaria, because then you got to, you know, run the spy shop of CIA agents that are infiltrating the Eastern Bloc, and Western Europe, Eastern Europe, very important front line, world in the balance, nuclear war. Suddenly you're backwater. It's like, oh, there's no more threat, there's no more war. I'm not, like, important anymore. So what do? We say, okay, now we've got to push NATO right up to Russia's borders with the Ukraine. Now Ukraine, we've got to make them a member of NATO, make them part of the European Union. Why? Because Russia has no desire to go anywhere. They can barely keep their escalators running. It's a joke. They're all dying of cirrhosis. The country's shrinking. China's taking over Siberia. So when we threatened to make the Ukraine part of NATO, that's when Russia said, well, we better take over the Black Sea port in Crimea. Otherwise, NATO's going to have a naval base right next door to us, and we can't let that happen. So my point is this, that these people are, besides being parasites on the taxpayer, they are... they're not original thinkers. They're just going by rote. It's like, well, we had NATO fighting Russia for, that's what I learned at the Kennedy School of Government, so that's what we will keep doing. The most important thing is to expand NATO as much as possible and keep fighting Russia. Meanwhile, China is eating our lunch. They're stealing our jobs. They've infiltrated our universities, our computers, our industries, our research facilities. They're expanding across Asia. They're expanding across the South Pacific. They are the greatest threat in the world. Meanwhile, the people in the State Department said, we must continue our scientific and cultural exchanges with China, because as we engage with them, they will become more democratic. Because, again, that's what they learned at the Kennedy School of Government 20 years ago. And they have not had an original thought since. For 70 years... right? The United Nations passed a resolution, 1947, saying, we're going to divide Palestine between an Arab state and a Jewish state, and Jerusalem will be an international city. It'll be an international city that'll be administered by the United Nations, 1947. This is before the United Nations was exposed as the fraud that it is. Well, now we know. How long have we known that the United Nations couldn't run a one-car funeral? But American foreign policy has been predicated on, well, we can't have our embassy in Jerusalem because it's going to be an international city when the final negotiations take place. Well, Donald Trump comes along and he says, enough of this charade. Jerusalem is the eternal capital of the Jewish people. It's written in the Bible. Israel is founded on that. They ain't going anywhere. Israel is never giving up Jerusalem, so let's move our embassy there. And all of the people, all these idiots in the State Department are like, oh, you can't do that. There's going to be violence. It's going to be the end of everything. Well, guess what? We moved our embassy there. It's not the end of everything. There was no violence. And get over it. And so these people just go paint by number, parasites on the American taxpayer, self-important, passive-aggressive, globalists. They don't even believe in America anymore.
No,
see,
they
it's
don't.
Not Alger Hiss and communist spies. In the State Department, it was. Alger Hiss was a communist spy. It's been proven after the files were opened up in Moscow. We saw that he was indeed a Soviet agent, and there were a whole bunch of them. But that was the 1950s. Now we've got globalists, and they believe in the international rules-based order, the post-war architecture of international rules-based order. That's what we're working for. No, folks, you're working for the United States of America, and if you don't like it, find another job.
That's right. I want to say, ask you one thing before I go to Rich Logis, Larkin, and Mark. What has all of this, what's going on in Washington, done for the benefit of American workers? Can you answer
Thank
me?
Thank you very much.
What has
Nothing.
It done? It's taken
Nothing.
Our tax dollars and just flushed it down the toilet. Down the toilet it's gone. What a disgrace. The slop that I've been listening to is enough to make me sick. And with that, I want to turn to Rich Logis. Rich, how are you today? And what do you have to add to our conversation? And let us know how American workers are benefiting from all this.
Good morning, Michael. Curtis, welcome back. welcome back. Our listeners undoubtedly have missed you. I'm going to just put a and Mark and Mark to everyone, Henry and our listeners. I'm going to just throw an idea out, which people, you guys want to address, great. But I always like to say on my show and in my articles, Michael, that there's a third dimension, which is what's happening in front of us, and then there's a fourth dimension, which is going on in the background, but typically it isn't seen. Actually, Saul Alinsky used a term for this where he said, Curtis, you may recall from Rules for Radicals, the issue is never the issue. So the issue, quote-unquote, that is presented to the nation regarding the president, Ukraine, and Russia, etc., the issue, quote-unquote, is that the president is a... first, he was a secretly installed Manchurian candidate of Vladimir Putin. Then we brushed that aside, even though half of America will go to their graves still believing that. We brushed that aside to then create a narrative that the president and the president of Ukraine have some international electoral sabotage going on, unbeknownst to everybody, to ensure that aid is withheld to investigate a candidate for a president who may be the nominee. So that's the issue. But what is the actual issue? Well, all the Democrats right now, Michael, know that they have no case. They know that. So why then, Curtis, would they do it? Well, here's my idea. Sorry for the long build-up to it. But there's a method to my madness. So the reason this is being done, Michael, the actual real reason it is being done, is because the Democrats are legitimately concerned, they're legitimately nervous, that Attorney General William Barr is going to impanel grand juries to seek indictments against some of those whom our Inspector General, Horowitz, have recommended criminal charges against, such as Comey, such as McCabe, such as to be continued, Curtis, once we find out more. So all of this, we call it in law a trial balloon. All this is a preemptive defensive legal strategy, Michael, on the part of the Democrats. So in the event that Attorney General Barr seeks indictment, the Democrats will then turn around and say, oh, these indictments are just political retribution for the impeachment hearings. That is what the actual issue is, what I just said to you, right there. That's it.
Very possible.
And I'm going to write about it this week. I'm going to publish it. I'm going to put it out there for everyone. The Democrats know there's no impeachable offense. They know that nothing was done that warrants high crimes and misdemeanors seeking impeachment. Now they have to feed the beast of their voters. Joseph Goebbels is believed to have said, tell a big lie enough, and the people will come to believe it. What's actually astounding, Curtis, about most Democrat voters is you only need to tell them the lie one time. They will believe it for the rest of their lives.
Oh, yeah, they're gullible. No, I agree with you, Rich, and I've written about that this is a preemptive strike, the Democrats' impeachment thing. It's meant to... When we say 2016 election interference, they say 2020 election interference. This Durham report, the Horowitz report, is going to come out. You're going to see some really, really disgusting, filthy stuff, I believe. And the Democrats want to try to get ahead of it or distract from it or deflect from it or, you know, basically, you know, try to have a sideshow to distract from the main event.
Now, Rich, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think American workers should be paying taxes to have this kind of stuff continue?
I mean, the short answer, of course, is no. And it's going to come down to, as I said to someone this morning, how this all works out electorally next year is going to come down to what side is more motivated. So our side is motivated by, in no order of priority, We're motivated by freedom, by our Constitution, by American workers. keeping government as small and spending as little as possible, our economy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's what motivates our side. Some people maybe have a different order, and that's fine. And then the other side is motivated by none of that, actually. They're not motivated by, they might tell you they are. They may tell you they are, but the worst tyrants in world history always told you, trust me, it's good for you. Don't they, Curtis? Don't they always say, trust me, look, Curtis, the gulag is good for you. Trust me. I'm telling you it is. So the other side is not driven by that, Michael. The other side is driven by fundamental transformation and eliminate. Sorry, whenever I say fundamental transformation, I need a defibrillator. Sorry about that. They're driven by abolish the Electoral College. They're driven by reduce or fully erode freedoms. They're driven by get that guy out of office by any means possible. Ethics and law, to hell with it all, right? That's what it's driven by. And that's why, to sum up the point, it's why, I, again, I'm a public service announcement. I'm identifying the two sides for our wonderful, great audio engineer, Henry. He's a swing voter in a swing state, and we're going to earn his vote. We're not going to take swing voters for granted, but those are the two sides.
The only thing that you've done is make me want to move to a non-swing state.
but Henry, the problem with that is this, though. If you go to a non-swing state, then you're just moving to a state that would elect Genghis Khan if he ran as a Democrat. Because there's only blue states and purple states. So as a swing voter in a swing state, I think I just, in a quick summary, identified the two sides. And the problem with taking the middle is that on the battlefield, that's the most dangerous place because you're in the middle of both sides firing at each other. So we want to get you to our side. We're going to earn that swing voter vote. We're not going to take you for granted. My public service announcement is done. I yield the floor.
Very good, Rich. I want to tell you something. You know, I've been concerned about the direction of America's national elected leaders for years and years. You remember, I've worked in human services for some time, and I see a lot and hear a lot and visit with a lot of people of all ages with all sorts of needs and difficulties. However, I've been seeing something in just the last few years because of this president, that there's a new focus on jobs right here in the United States of America. Our economy's improved. We're seeing that real leadership focused on the real needs and concerns of the American people, American workers, America's elderly, America's youth can really make a big, big difference. It's made a big difference. Now, those who have been promoting all this rigmarole for years and years, and it's been Democrats and Republicans and independents, a few independents, it's been both sides. It's not one side is not better than the other. The fact is, we're looking at the person in charge right now in this government. President Trump, his leadership, has now shown us that you can get businesses back in America if you lower the taxes, if you make regulations actually normal. Why hasn't been that been done in 30 years? People, everywhere I go, people say to me, we're not upset about what's happening. I'm feeling better about things in America. We now have to make up for lost time. And what I mean by that is, we have children been graduating from schools that don't know how to read, write, measure, and don't know how to communicate. And so this president, after he gets done with the jobs, and the president that will follow him in the future, have to look out for the well-being of the American people first. Curtis, you're right. The United Nations is not doing its job. When you look at the whole body, they should be participating, not just Uncle Sam, the United States, American workers, America's taxpayers. Uh-uh. While America's debt goes up, other countries have gone up with their economies. Our debt is going up. That's not what we're all about. Our gross domestic product should be really high. It's not. Well, let's turn for a minute to Larkin. Larkin Connolly, tell us everything.
Good morning, Michael. Welcome back, Curtis. It's good to have you in the chair. Rich and Mark, Henry, my swing state buddy. And the listeners, thanks for listening. You know, my concern, and I think Curtis brought up some wonderful points, but my concern is a little bit more domestic than you guys have been feeding it. You know, this charade that they have going on, I have it on with the sound killed. Just looking at these guys is enough to make your skin crawl. The problem with this is that this charade is costing this country about $1.5 billion, I think it's a month. They actually had to revise the budget. Nancy Pelosi had to go find the money to allow this charade to continue because they didn't have the money in the budget.
Mark, and where did she find it? Tell me where what money is found, and let's all go on that trail.
They print it.
Well, they printed it. I mean, there are a handful of different ways. Here's my point. The Republicans and the Democrats, in a pretty unified concern, are considering major cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. So you mean to tell me you were going to cut my Social Security, which I paid into faithfully for many, many years, you're going to cut that so that we can continue these charades? I don't know at what point anybody wakes up and decides that this is just a bizarre beyond bizarre. But they're going to cut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. And it's a long, involved process. Trump promised that he wouldn't cut any of the entitlements. I don't care about many of the entitlements except the one that I paid into, the one I put my money into.
That's an earned benefit.
It's an earned benefit, and they're going to cut it. They're going to take it away. Yeah, they're talking significant cuts here.
Now, Larkin, we should be, in this presidential election, bringing all these things up, not being sheepish about it, not allowing all these debates and all, and the debates that will come in the future, just to continue with this mudslinging. Let's get down to the real facts and figures, the bread and butter issue that affect every American. America first. My whole focus is America first. I don't go visiting social service people in other countries. I deal with people in America. I see what has happened to them as a result of very, very poor leadership. Leadership comes from the top, and it hasn't been it's very best in Washington, D.C. at this point. Believe me when I tell you, they should be cutting nothing but their own salaries first. Lead by example. All those perks, all those massages, all those drivers, all those assistants, all those extra secretaries, out! O-U-T.
I wanted to ask Curtis, you talked about how the government has developed from a republic or a democracy to where we are today. Have you written about that?
Yes, yes. I wrote about it a few times, a few different places. As I say, the progressive movement has achieved one of its goals, which is to have a permanent technocratic managerial class running the show, replacing democracy with these unassailable civil servants. Is that what you're referring to by how we've developed into this?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think it's a very interesting point, and I'm going to go back. I've really kind of thought I had read everything that comes across my. I get it all, and I read it, but I've missed that, and I think that is, I think that's really at the heart of the matter. If you really stop and think about it, it's the inability of the inside the Beltway to govern. They can't. I mean, they're not governing. They're not. There's no leadership involved here. It's to me, you know. Somebody told me the other day, you'll know that this is a complete political F-storm going on at the Longworth office building, you'll know that this is a complete F-storm when you find out that everybody on both sides in both houses votes on political, it's a partisan vote. You know, he'll get impeached by Congress, and it'll be on party line. And somebody wrote, I wish I could remember who it was that I read, that this kind of action is not intended to be a political action. I mean, you've got to have some pretty serious treason. This is shameful.
This is slop. It's total slop. It's foolishness. It's idioticness. It's a total waste of our tax dollars. And by the way, in all these months, I have not heard many national elected leaders say one thing about the positive American economy right now. Not one of them has said,
My God, we
have to do more to help American workers. Not one. I'm waiting.
I had a partisan tell me the other day that, you know, would you stop bringing up the economy because it's not his economy, it's Barack Obama's economy.
Really?
Really now?
I want those people in Washington to end this charade, this witch hunt, this nonsense, and focus on this brand new United States, Mexico, and Canada trade agreement. I want to see all of that on the top of the table. And Mark Andel, I'm sure you want to see that there too.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? Welcome and great talk. Curtis, point on always, and Rich and Larkin. Mike, again, I'm more on that grassroots movement side, but you had a trade agreement Caterpillar years ago when I met with them. It was one continent, one goal. That's what they were after, so that trade agreement matches, logistically makes sense. We're in the shopping mode, though. It's made in America time, guys. We got 6 weeks to the end of the year, 5 weeks to Christmas. Made in America strong, I got to say. We opened two extra holiday stores in Western New York, and people like it. Again, we got to keep it front, right in front of them, be consistent with our message, and raise awareness and educate them. But it's there. Unfortunately, with all that on TV, you know, we had our big snowstorm up here last week, and we're in the snow removal business, so that was a great start, and really cold weather, but really got us rolling on that side. But I was out of town a few days with my buddies at our hunting camp and whatnot, but talking about what you just talked about, you know, a lot of them are just disgusted. They shut off the TVs and that because things are going so well, but you don't hear one good thing. Mike, we talk about staying positive, and you got to believe, and they get so off course. We got a good thing going. Like you said, the economy's going good, but we don't need this crippling effect and consumer unconfidence. We need the confidence to continue, and we got to stay strong with our messages, guys. We can't get too far off track.
And that's right. Next week is already Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
it's going to be Black Friday. It's going to be Small Business Saturday. It's a time I'm pleading with every American consumer to go out and look at the label. Speak up.
They got to do their part, Mike.
They got to do your part. Let me say this to you loud and clear. The people at the cash register hear what the customers are talking about. When I go in, whether it's for a greeting card or whatever, I look at the label and I make a major presentation about it at the cash register. Don't you have anything of this made in America, blah, blah, blah. They say, well, we only, you know, it's always that same goofy story from the manager. All I am is a manager. All I am is a clerk. All I am is a stocker. Well, then get the message to your local manager.
They're a consumer. They're a voter. It makes
That's
sense.
Right.
It's so simple, but they've got to keep believing and keep that money in our own country. Support the country you live in.
Mark, I believe that America has to become like the Chinese government in one way. And you know what that is? Don't give $1 to anything unless you expect $20 in return from your dollar investment. That's how they operate. They're taking over all the bases of the world. Curtis, you could give us a whole report on that. Everywhere possible, They are going in there and taking up the land. They are rebuilding next to our bases, next to someone else's base. Curtis put out a wonderful article last week. It was perfect. It says what these people are doing.
But why aren't we seeing that there's more work than there are workers? There's more
That's
jobs
exactly
available
right.
than there's workers. Everyone I talk to, but you don't hear that positiveness.
Nope.
And I get mad because it sinks this economy. It just doesn't sink it, but it causes this uncertainty. But there's a lot of good going on. You can't let this media wash that good out.
You know, Mark, I'm going to ask you something. As a businessman, as someone who works hard and pays your taxes, do you feel that this, what's going on in Washington with this, all these hearings and all, is worth it to you, to your staff, to any of your customers?
It's a disgrace. You know, the money, our money is being, you know, basically thrown away and burned up. We want to see it on positive things. If it's the trade, you know, if it's the shop work, the helping these kids, helping students, educating them, on what's going on, the skilled trade shortage, we're telling you there's more work, there's more jobs than there are workers. So, yeah, the money's being wasted.
It's being wasted.
Disgusting, Mike.
And I think it's this election, and if we don't do it and we don't start in small grassroots areas like this, American Workers Radio, I think that we can direct a lot of questions to these people.
Well, Michael, can I interject on
yes.
something, please? And it's a point Larkin just made. And look, let me preface Michael by saying there's plenty of grape-flavored Flavor Aid that some on our side drink. Everyone says Kool-Aid. I am going to defend for the rest of my life the good name of Kool-Aid. It was not Kool-Aid that was used at the People's Temple cult. It was grape-flavored Flavor Aid. So let's clear up this historical, egregious historical inaccuracy. It wasn't Kool-Aid. It's grape-flavored flavoring. There's plenty on our side, Michael. But if our economy is perhaps our most important issue, I generally tend to think most elections it is. I've mentioned this before, forgive the repetition, but even the Washington Post, that bastion of Jeffersonian constitutionalism, even the Washington Post has debunked the narrative, the Democrat media industrial complex narrative, that our current economy is primarily because of President Obama. Even the Washington Post has said, you know what, even that's propaganda that I can't get on board with. And I'm not going to say that there were no gains of President Obama. That's not true to say there's no gains. But back to our point that you can, you know, it's easier to fool people than to convince them that they've been fooled. That's it, Larkin. On our economy, half of America, I mean, Moses could come down from Sinai itself and say, look, I've got the proof. It isn't President Obama. No, 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 Moses, you're wrong. Nope. You're wrong. Jesus himself comes down and says, you know what, on the seventh day, I decided to take a day off from resting. I'm going to let you know. Here's the evidence. No, 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 Son of God. No, no, can't, no. It's easier, Michael, when it comes to our economy. You've got half of the country who actually believe that. And as I always like to say, because as Potter Stewart, the famous Supreme Court justice, once said in a ruling about pornography, I know it when I see it. I know when I see the campaigns from 2016, Hillary Clinton mentioned the so-called robust Obama economy precisely zero times on the campaign trail. Why was it mentioned precisely zero times?
That's a good point, Rich.
Why wasn't it mentioned?
That's a good point. You're absolutely right, because
why
I
not?
Watch out for who is talking about that, and it
what?
Has been
so
zero.
So we're going to now say revisionist history. Well, Hillary Clinton didn't run a political campaign very well. She's been running campaigns for 300 years. She didn't know how to run it, Curtis? You don't really believe that stuff coming out of your mouth right now.
You know, Rich, you've been, and all of us have been to Washington a number of times. Curtis, you're there probably more than most. There is embassy row. There is lobbyist row. There's everything. Is there any building directed to lobbying for American workers? Is there any building or even floor of an office lobbying for that? Curtis, can you tell me?
No, there isn't, unfortunately.
Why? That's, we're in America. Why? Who is lobbying for us?
Exactly. Well, let me say, during the campaign, I was there, Trump Tower, with Peter Navarro and Steve Bannon and Jeff Sessions, and we put out a proposal. I was there writing the memo. The idea was, we put it out very simple. In the State Department, you have a Europe desk, you have an Asia desk, you have a Russia desk, you have a Brazil desk, you have a et cetera, et cetera. We said, let's create an American desk. Let's have a dedicated authority to promote America, because that is missing in our government.
That's right.
It's just been taken over by this blob.
Sounds like that would be common sense, Curtis.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need common sense in university still.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you, right. Curtis, I think that our broadcast is going to have to get a little forward come the time closer to the election, because both sides are going to have to talk about America first. We're not interested in all this nonsense. First of all, are the Ukrainians or the Brazilians or whoever, are they lobbying for these grants? And if they are, who are they lobbying to in America? All these diplomats that we are paying with our dollar, where are the proposals? And by the way, they're saying they got all these millions of dollars. Have we seen the proposals of the past and the documented proof of how the money was spent? If I get a grant, I have to tell them at the end of the grant how the money was spent, penny by penny. How are we holding the feet to the fire of these foreign countries?
Not at all. And let me tell you this, to bring it back to the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, this is a great example. We've had these trade agreements with other countries. Obama was pushing the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And the whole idea, the way they had been doing it was, well, we're going to, and specifically with the Trans-Pacific Partnership, well, we've got to make sure that Vietnam, communist Vietnam, has labor laws on the books so that they have labor standards and it's just like America. So the United States spent, I don't know, how many gobs of millions of dollars to go over to Vietnam and train their Congress people, their lawmakers, right? Now, remember, this is a communist dictatorship, so the parliament in Vietnam is probably about as useful as, a fifth wheel or something. But they and wrote the law for them and helped them write the law and, craft the whole thing and pass a labor law. And this was going to then show the United States and show the world that it's all very good and Vietnam is now just like America for workers' rights, and we can now do a trade deal with them. Now, this is going on again with Mexico. The AFL-CIO and some of these Democrats in Congress are, well, we've got to make sure that Mexico has enforceable labor laws. And what we're going to do is we're going to send a bunch of American tax dollars to Mexico the way we sent it to Vietnam and the way we sent it to Honduras and Guatemala to help them enforce their labor laws. I'll tell you what, I worked at the International Labor Affairs Bureau at the Labor Department. We were spending tens of millions of dollars giving grants to countries like Colombia and Honduras and El Salvador to create labor, to train people on how to fill out complaints that you were being forced to work overtime, right? Meanwhile, the people in these countries know
yep.
that if they ever filled out one of those complaints, somebody would come to their house at night and shoot them in the back of the head, right? I mean, it was just a complete waste of money. It's a complete waste of money. They had a labor department in Guatemala where they didn't even have to inspect factories to make sure that they met the OSHA standards. These labor inspectors didn't have cars. didn't have gasoline to put in the car and didn't have tires on the cars they didn't have. So how many inspections were they going to do? But how many millions of dollars did we spend so some bureaucrat can sit down in Washington and check off a box saying, well, we certified that they are doing labor inspections in Guatemala. How do we know that? Well, because we just sent them $10 million to help them do that.
You know,
as far as the,
that's how our money is being wasted. But before we go, I want to just say this. We're watching this nonsense go on in Washington. And there's one thing that's very discouraging. Mexico already agreed to the trade agreement. Canada already agreed to the trade agreement. It's being held up in the United States of America by America's national leaders. Is that an embarrassment or what? The Canadians must be thinking, wow, what the hell is going on? We've approved it months ago, but because America's national leaders haven't pushed, and that's a Democrat and a Republican side, they should be pushing this as well as going to whatever they want to do, but they should be pushing what is going to benefit the United States of America first. Boy, this was a great program. Remember, this is the season to buy. Make sure you get a 100% Made in America product by going to madeinamericastore.com. I want to say thank you to Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, Mark Andel, Curtis Ellis, our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash. You'll be able to hear a rebroadcast of today's show. Kindly take that rebroadcast and send it out to a family member or friend, because this is how we're getting our supporters on board until this Saturday at 11 or till next Wednesday at 11. May God bless you and may God bless America. Please go out and shop looking for the American-made label first. Have a great one, everyone.
Have a great week, guys.